welcome to a special brewery showcase episode of
Brutal Battle.
Yes, it's that time again where we do the brewery showcase, and we already teased this one, so people who listen should know what this is. And for those of you who didn't listen, shame on you, but it's Ninkasi Brewing out of Eugene, Oregon. And this is because we have been to Ninkasi recently. We had a wonderful time out there, a awesome tour from one of the founders, Jamie Floyd, and all the beers that we'll be trying on this episode were supplied to us by Ninkasi. So thank you very much, Jamie Floyd, and Ninkasi in general.
Now, while the beers were free, we did have to pay to bring them back because of the, if, again, we mentioned on the previous episode how we had to buy those special sleeves to bring all those beer back.
So. Yeah, that was the Oregon vacation episode, so go back and listen to it if you have not. Quite entertaining. If I can toot my own horn, or our own horn.
Toot, 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 toot.
Yeah. So, all right, well, actually, while I talk, I think typically what we do is I'll talk about the brewery a little bit, and then we'll get into a beer. I think we should start with getting into a beer, and then I'll start talking about the brewery. So, Rebecca, you can just relax, sip on the beer while I say some stuff.
It is Friday night, and I need a beer.
Yeah. So how we're going to do this is I'm going to talk about, well, we have four beers, first of all, four different beers that we're doing. One's a seasonal and three are from their staple line, basically. So what we're going to do is have one right now, then we'll, however we feel really, just splatter the other ones throughout the episode. But I'll give some background on the brewery itself. And then after I give all the background stuff, then we'll talk about our tour experience and a bunch of cool stuff that came from that. So anyway, what are we drinking first?
Okay, we're drinking the seasonal release of their Kolsch style beer, which is their Wunder beer.
Yeah, most people in the U.S. would call it Wunder beer, but how it would be said in its native tongue is Wunderbier.
Yeah, I like that. And it's 4.4% ABV.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it.
All right, let's pour it, let's look at it, let's smell it, let's taste it, all that good stuff.
Now, I'm interested in seeing what I think of this now, because we had this when we were at the brewery.
Yes, we did. And it was on tap. Everything was on tap. All right, that's good.
Oh, sorry. And I really enjoyed it then. So, again, it'll be interesting to see how I experience it, because did I just like the beer because of the experience of the tour, or did I actually like the beer for the beer?
Yeah, who knows? Because sometimes, like we talk about it on the podcast from time to time, your experience can really enhance your situation with the beer. You know,
and that's something that I'm kind of jumping ahead, but that's something that we talked about with Jamie, was, you know, certain beers you will always love because
of how you had them and where you were and what you were doing. What does that look like to you?
Straw.
Yeah, it's very yellow. It's super filtered. It looks maybe a tad bit... No, not really. Actually, it's not even a tad bit hazy. You can just see right through that sucker.
Straw and urine.
Yeah, nice small bubbles coming up from the bottom. All right, what do you smell on it? Very malty.
Yeah.
Just like a nice, light, pale malt just type.
Like really clean smelling.
It smells so crisp, so fresh. A little bit of like a lemony aspect to it.
Yeah, I was just going to say like a lemon peel.
I'm going to let you keep going because I know recent episodes, I just jump into it and start saying things and you're like, I was just going to say that. So you go ahead. What else do you smell in there?
Oh, that's a lot. I went to tasting.
There's a little bit of hay note to it. But smells like a much, much deeper flavored Kolsch than I'm used to. A lot of them I feel like are a little much lighter on the nose. These are much darker, deeper notes on the nose. So tasting it, what are you getting?
I get a lot of that malt, and it just reminds me of, like, outdoor, crisp, like, has some aspects of, like, wheat.
Mm-hmm.
I get some wheat aspects.
Yeah, it's really clean.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
It's nice. As far as Kolsches go, I think this actually may be one of the best Kolsches I've ever had. Not like I've had a ton of Kolsches, because that's typically not my style, but it's clean. The notes, the flavor, just like in the aroma, it's so much darker than typically Kolsch is. It's richer. It kind of coats your palate a lot more. It doesn't just fall off like a lot of Kolsches do. It sticks around.
It lingers on your tongue. It's like a full-bodied Kolsch. Yeah. Like I love this style.
Yeah.
But it is, but some are a little like watered down, yeah, and don't have a lot of flavor, but this one is delivers.
And also with lighter styles like this, for me, I typically will pick up at the end kind of what's been said before on the show is an assy finish. You know, it's kind of like a tad bit of a skunky type finish to it, mm-hmm, like a unsavory end to the beer, but this does not have that. This is very well rounded.
I mean, there's a little bitterness on the end, but not even really detectable.
This is like such an easy drinking beer.
Yeah.
Like, it's an easy drinking beer, but it's got more than enough flavor to let you know I should just take a little bit of time with it to appreciate that flavor.
Yeah, so. And you know, it's nice for this, you know, at the 4.4%,
mm-hmm,
and it's in a 22-ounce bottle, so you can...
You could do all that by yourself. Enjoy a lot. Man, you could drink all of that by yourself in, like, 15 minutes and have no problem, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. This goes down...
Easy.
Very easy. But, yeah, it has a lot of flavor. Okay.
All right, so to jump into the kind of the backstory of Ninkasi, how it came to be. In 2005, Jamie Floyd and Nikos Ridge had met each other at a bottle shop in Eugene, Oregon. And they... started talking about what they would do if they opened a brewery individually. So they kind of took it a little bit further and were just like, hey, you know, what if we do just decide to go ahead and open a brewery? So they did it, and Jamie brought the brewing experience. He had a lot of brewing experience at that point. I think he started brewing when he was, like, pretty young. And Nikos had finance experience, so he provided that aspect of the business. So they got together 6 months after this conversation happened, and they decided, hey, let's brew our first beer and see what happens. The first beer that they brewed, the first batch ever by Ninkasi, was their Total Domination IPA, which is one of their staple beers to this day. It's their flagship, I believe. And it took 17 hours for them to do that first batch of beer. And it was done on a 15-barrel system that was in a small space they rented from a German restaurant.
Really?
Yes. Which...
And that was in Eugene?
Yes, in Eugene. So the interesting thing to me about that is Jamie was very heavily inspired by German-style beers. When I had seen him talk at the Saber event about their space program, he talked about a little bit of the backstory to Ninkasi. And he had said how he was very heavily influenced by German-style beers. So it's very fitting that I talk about that, and we're drinking a Kolsch.
Yeah.
So very just cool. And one of their other staple beers is a Helles lager called Lux. And I had had that at Saber, and that's also, you know, a German-inspired beer. But So Ninkasi is named for the Sumerian goddess of fermentation. And one of the main reasons they chose that is because it's very, very old, this Sumerian goddess of fermentation. And to them, it kind of focuses on community and the root of human existence, which was focused very much around beer at that point. And there was a really great quote that I pulled off the website that I just wanted to read verbatim because I thought it was very well put together. Throughout human history, beer not only was a catalyst for written language and organized education, but was also the center of community and culture, one never in operation without the other, a driving force behind the new brewery.
Hmm.
So, kind of gives you an idea. Their current brewery is a 55-barrel system and a 90-barrel system. They have them separate. And they will at some point be doing a sour section, but it's going to be its own building because they don't want to mess with potentially getting infected batches of beer in other areas of the brewery. Mm-hmm. So they want to keep it contained, which is smart. They currently distribute in Alaska, Alberta, Canada, Arizona, California, Colorado, Idaho, Oregon, Utah, Washington State, Nevada, and Vancouver, Canada. Mm-hmm. Those are their distribution areas. So they're not on the East Coast yet.
Not at all.
Jamie did say at some point he would like to be out here. I know they do ship a little bit to Philadelphia from time to time. Philadelphia is just one of those craft beer magnets that pulls stuff in they're not supposed to. They just end up getting it for whatever reason. But he's interested in being in the East Coast at some point and in Maryland at some point. So he's going to let me know when that ends up happening eventually.
They can just deliver right to our house.
Yeah, right to our house. That sounds good. And then we'll just call people up and be like, hey, the Ninkasi's here. They can just reimburse us for whatever. And we're good. So their current flagship series is their Total Domination IPA, their Tricera Hops Double IPA, their Dawn of the Red Red IPA, their Lux Helles Lager, which I talked about earlier, their Otis Oatmeal Stout, a vanilla version of their Otis, and their Quantum Pale Ale. And those are the ones they always have around. In addition to that, they have stuff they're always doing. Obviously, we had this seasonal, this Wunderbier. While we were there, I had a Imperial Slayer, which is an alt beer. It was an Imperial alt beer that they've done. They had, what else did we try? We tried some of their stuff they were piloting, like their hop sandwich, which, talk about the hop sandwich. What was that?
Is that what it was called? Hop sandwich? I thought
hop sandwich, yeah.
I thought it was just a sandwich IPA.
No, it was a hop sandwich, and it was an IPA done with rye and caraway seeds.
So good.
You could get so much rye in that. It was crazy. And Jamie said that the whole aim of that beer was so that when people drink it, they want a pastrami sandwich to go with it. And I could see that. You know, when I was drinking, I was like, I could really see a pastrami sandwich going with this.
It was really good.
And then we also had a single hop IPA that was called Boss Hop. And that was really awesome. It was good stuff.
We had some sort of Maiden.
Maiden the Shade, which was a session IPA.
Yep.
Yep, they did that one as well.
Yeah. The tour, well, I know Carlin will get to the tour, but it was just awesome because it literally was like, beer, here, have a beer. Like walking around, oh, your glass is empty. Do you want another beer?
Yeah, and we'll talk about that more in depth. But the last little portion, I just wanted to highlight a few of the things that they do to stay on top of being sustainable. Because as people know, Oregon's very big on sustainability and stuff like that, being green. This is just a few things. This is not everything that they do to be sustainable. It's just a few examples. Since 2011, they've been generating partial energy for themselves from their own solar panels, which they have 160 solar panels currently. They also participate in a program that turns farmers' cow waste into energy.
What?
I don't quite know how that works.
Learn about that on the
tour. No, we didn't, but I'd like to find out. That was on their website, this information. They reclaim some of the cooling water that they use. So it's multiple use, so they're not just using it and then letting it, you know, drain. They're taking it back and using it another few times. They source hops locally is another thing that they do. Their bottles that they use are 60% post-consumer glass.
Cool.
Now, to give you perspective on that, for post-consumer glass bottles, 35% is the industry standard. So wow, they are 25% better than what the industry standard is. Their 4 and 12 pack cartons for beer are 100% recycled material, and they give their spent grain to farmers for food, for the stock, for their livestock. So just like I said, just a few examples. There are a bunch of other things that they do.
Some of the things that we noticed when we were there is, I know they collect rainwater. Mm-hmm. They have some green roofs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do. They have, I think, at least one of their buildings is LEED certified, which is like an environmental certification that you can get, which you have to jump through a lot of hoops and do a lot of stuff in order to get that. So.
And that was one of the, remember that whiteboard we saw with, like, their goals, and one of them was to try to reduce waste.
Mm-hmm. I do remember that. Yeah. And, they had, like, a whiteboard where they would just write whatever people needed to know so that they didn't necessarily have to always have meetings. People could just write up their thoughts on what they needed or what was going on.
And also their progress on certain things. Like, what's the progress on this project or this goal? And I thought that was cool, too, because how many times you sit in lots of meetings in a job setting, and it's like, shoot me an email, or, you know, you could say it in a lot less words. So I thought that was cool.
I thought when you're saying that, you were going to say sitting in the meetings, you're going to say shoot me in the head.
Oh, well, sometimes I feel like that too.
Yeah, because it can get crazy. There are very quick, succinct ways to get your point across, and you don't always have to have meetings, so yeah. I think before we start talking, we need another beer.
I'm not done with this one. Go ahead.
Well, slam it. Okay, well, then I'll do it. So, the first one we did was our seasonal one. I said the other ones are ones from their flagship series. So, the first one we're going to do from the flagship is their Total Domination IPA, where the brewery began. So, this should be interesting. This was the very first batch of beer they ever did. Was this Total Domination IPA? There you go, Rebecca.
And the Ninkasi logo is
awesome.
Really cool too.
It's black, like, and a black turquoise, and
black and teal or turquoise. I don't know. But the colors are so cool, and the building is that color too. Like, you can't miss it. Like, they have like very distinctive.
Yeah. Well,
or distinguished. It can be distinguished.
Yeah. Whatever. All right, so this looks like a very typical IPA, very orange, super filtered. You can see right through this sucker. It's got nice big white bubbles sitting on top of it. Oh, the smell, it smells like tasty candy.
It smells really syrupy.
It does smell syrupy. It smells like citrus candy, kind of.
I think it also looks syrupy to me, just looking at it. I feel like it looks syrupy.
Oh, well, I didn't say what the ABV is. 6.7, so it's not the ABV that's doing it.
Yeah, it's definitely more pine notes than citrus in my mind.
Oh, I might be able to get a little bit of pine in there, but I mainly get citrus on the nose.
I'm getting more pine.
It smells like citrus candy to me.
I could see that.
There's a real sweetness in there from the malt.
I guess that's why I'm getting the syrupy notes.
Yeah. Yeah. It smells really good. I'm getting a little bit of that kind of, like, citrus sugar aspect, like Smarties candy.
I feel like I smell...
Go ahead and say it.
Candied papaya. There's, like, the candied papaya that you had that I just threw away.
Yeah, she just threw away because I didn't eat it all.
I was like, are you ever going to eat this?
And I was like, no, it's been in there for, like, at least 6 months, so...
It was, like, hard.
Yeah. But... It's interesting because a lot of times when they're really hoppy beers, I typically smell a lot of straight citrus in it, and I smell more of like candy in this one, like citrus candy, which is inviting.
It's
good. It's not as serious as you were expecting.
No, not at all. That's exactly what I'm... I don't know what to make of this.
Well, for as... syrupy as you thought it was going to be based on the nose, it's got significantly less body.
Yes.
There actually is a little bit of a kind of piney aspect in there on the end, and it kind of comes up with the bitterness that it finishes with, but I get up front that kind of candy citrus flavor that I was talking about smelling.
I feel like it has a very, very bitter aftertaste, like, finish.
The bitterness does grow a little bit. Which is it's a little off-putting when it keeps compounding, but I think if you continue to drink it, then it's, you know, that's going to start going away. Like, your response to that bitterness is going to start going away. I think part of the problem is that we started out with a beer that's so neutral as far as bitterness goes. It was barely any bitterness to it. So once you jump to your first few sips of an IPA, the bitterness is magnified, basically, in comparison.
I don't dislike it.
I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just interesting because it's so light in comparison to what you're thinking it's going to be.
Yeah, I feel confused by it.
Yeah, it was a little confusing. But I really like the citrus candy notes, like sugar and citrus. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
It's nice. The bitterness, is a little... more present than I thought it would be, but it's still a good beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So, I had, you know, met Jamie Floyd at Sabre, and I had talked about that before on the Sabre episodes, when he was talking about the space program, and I was like, oh man, this guy's like real passionate about beer stuff. It's awesome. So I had shot him an email when we knew we were going to go out to Oregon, and he was super busy at that point. He was like, look, you know, we got the Portland Brewers Festival going on, so I don't really have much time. But he was like, look, I got like one day, basically. And he's like, and then the next day I'm out. I think he was flying to Colorado the next day.
Well, didn't like whoever you initially emailed say, no, he's too busy, but copied him on it? And he's like, wait, I think I'm available on Monday.
Yeah, that's basically what it was. It was the Allie. It was actually Allie Awesome. Thank you very much, Allie, for setting everything up. Yeah, but she had emailed back and been like, he's so booked, he's so swamped. And then he was like, well, I could be available on this one day. And yeah. I was like, okay. So I was like, gotta jump on that. So, because such just like an interesting, exciting guy. And I was just like, it'd be great to just go through his brewery. Plus, I had some Ninkasi stuff in the past from Emily, Rebecca's sister, who had brought some home from time to time. And I enjoyed the beer. So I was like, you know, why not check it out? So when we met up with him, you see these beautiful, like, metal gates for Ninkasi that are right there outside of their tasting room. And they have, like, a nice porch. Well, we then found out that they have their own metal shop. Mm-hmm. They make all their own metal stuff.
Like, all their own tap handles.
All their tap handles are metal, yeah. And they actually just recently did a non-beer collaboration with Sierra Nevada Brewing for their new facility in North Carolina. They made this gorgeous metal gate for their new facility in North Carolina. Yeah. Look it up.
I'm gonna say Google that. Look it up.
Yeah, it's on. When I saw it, I was like, "That's beautiful."
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's just a work of art. It's so.
But everywhere you go in at the Ninkasi facility, you see all these pieces of metalwork, and they're outstanding. It's just like handcrafted, really cool. You know, handcrafted metal. Like it doesn't get better than that, honestly. When you're looking at something from an aesthetic standpoint,
isn't that little bottle opener you have? Yeah, it's like it says like Ninkasi out of metal, and it's like a little bottle opener, and they sell those at the tap room too.
And they make all those there too. Yeah, it's awesome. So we met up with Jamie, and the first thing I notice is he's wearing a t-shirt. And I see this big tattoo on his forearm of a D20. Now, anybody who just knew what that meant, you're awesome.
I was like, tell people what a D20 is.
But people who don't know what that is, it's a 20-sided die.
It's because you're not a nerd. That's why you don't know what it is.
The 20-sided dice you roll to play tabletop games like Dungeons & Dragons, Pathfinder, things like that. Nerdy stuff, yes. So I noticed and I commented on it, and he was like, oh yeah, man, you know, D20, I'm a nerd. I used to play Dungeons & Dragons all the time. I think he actually still does play a little bit. And he actually commented how the guys from Three Floyds in Indiana, they call him the Fourth Floyd, and they always try to get him out there for, like, the gaming convention that they have in Indianapolis each year, and they're trying to get him out there to do some tabletop gaming. So I just thought that was kind of funny, but I felt even closer to him at that point. I was like, oh man, nerd pride, that's awesome. So we all got some beers and we went out and sat out on the porch and or on the patio and talked. And what beer did you start with? That's when I had the Imperial Slayer.
I think that's when I had the Kolsch.
Okay. Yeah, the Wunderbeer. I think you did start with that.
Yeah, I think I started with that.
And then I do remember Jamie making a comment. He was like, oh, Imperial Alt beer this early, that's a bold choice.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's just what I wanted to taste, you know. So
yeah.
So we talked about a lot of stuff. I just asked him a lot of questions I was curious about. But one of the interesting things is he was talking about one of their things is they really like to focus on the experience that you have with beer. It's kind of what Rebecca was talking about a little bit earlier, where they want to be able to create an awesome experience around the beer. And for them, it's all about what you're doing and who you're with when you're having the beer and creating those memories and experiences. And I said to him, I'm like, you know, it's kind of funny because with our podcast, we try to take those things away.
Yeah.
You know, like we strip it away.
To just the beer.
Yeah, to just try the beer. And he was like, well, that's cool too. You know, I'm down with that. That's great. But, you know, it's just interesting because our philosophies on drinking beer were very different. But, I mean, don't get me wrong. I still love the experiences that I have with craft beer, too. And this trip, this tour that we had at Ninkasi, I think is one of those moments. And I think I said to Rebecca a few times, that was my favorite craft beer moment.
Yeah, I think you said that a couple times. I'm not going to lie. And we were there forever. I was like, oh my gosh.
We were there for a lot of hours.
Yeah.
A lot of hours. So we all, you know, we all had one beer.
And then I think we started with the tour, just kind of like seeing the facility.
Yeah.
Kind of from like start to finish.
And where they bottle, they don't brew in the same building that they bottle. Like their tasting room and where they bottle is in the same room or is in the same building.
They have a couple different buildings. Like it's
yeah,
a
they have
large operation.
Four buildings at the moment, I think. So we saw that one, but we couldn't go in because they were cleaning the bottling line. So there could have been like broken glass and stuff like that. So we weren't allowed to go inside. We saw it from outside. You know, step in a little bit and take a look. But he pointed out they have a beer bridge. That's what they call it. It's basically just like a enclosed bridge that runs between where they do the majority of their brewing and where the bottling is. So they can just pump the beer there through the lines in this bridge, which is really interesting. I've never heard of anyone doing that. I've never seen that done. Yeah. So it was just something new. And then from there, we went into where they brew.
Mm-hmm.
And the tanks were gigantic.
Yeah.
We went all the way up, what, like three floors?
I don't know. It was hot. I was like
yeah,
sweating.
Yeah, it was hot. We went up like three floors and like went up to the very top to look. And I'm afraid of heights. So it was a little... It was a little tough for me, but I was like, I have to do it for the experience. This is so cool. Because the stairs and the what you were standing on at the top of the vessels was slatted. So you could see right down. Mm-hmm. So kind of rough. But we then met like the people who do their quality control, mm-hmm. the science folks.
Yeah.
Do all their science-y goodness.
And my sister and her partner were with us. My sister was like nerding out over all the...
Like the beakers and stuff that they were using, yeah.
Well, she was talking about the Erlenmeyer flask. Is that how you say it?
I think. I don't know.
She's like admiring, and she's like, that is just one nice piece of glassware.
Yeah. There was a discussion about sexy glassware.
Yes.
Kind of cool, odd, whatever you want to call it.
And then we met someone who actually used to live around us.
Yeah, he used to be from the Baltimore area. He actually used to work for Flying Dog Brewing and then moved out to Oregon to take the quality control job for Ninkasi. Was his name, I don't remember, was it Mike?
I have no idea.
It may have been Mike. I'm sorry if I got that wrong. I'm really sorry. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then one of my favorite things that I talked about from Crux, we went in the hot fridge. Smelled so good. They just kind of showed us everything with that. And we'll tell you where we went next, but I think we need another beer.
Yeah, our glasses are empty.
Yeah. I'm not like we don't have more of that Total Domination, because we do. Yeah, but time to move into the next one. All right, so this is one that I drank while we were doing part of the tour. This was Dawn of the Red. Partially wanted to drink it because I love horror stuff, and the reference to Dawn of the Dead zombie film, Dawn of the Red, wonderful. And I even said to Jamie, I was like, I love the reference, and he was like, all right on, man, that's great. So this is a Dawn of the Red Red IPA, and it is 7% alcohol by volume, only 0.3 higher than the Total Domination.
It already looks very similar to the Total Domination, but just a smidge more orangish, like red.
Yeah. It's got more of a reddish tinge to it, but not a ton,
no,
honestly.
Not at all. Everything else looks exactly the same.
Yeah, pretty much. Very see-through.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, man, this smells.
I like this smell much more.
Ooh, it is...
I love that, like the pineapple, like so much more citrus.
Yeah.
So much more clean. I just don't really like the syrupy notes in my beers, but.
This is like a citrus explosion.
Yeah, it is.
In my nose. And this is kind of how I remembered it when I was drinking
it
there.
Yeah. You said that. I didn't.
But yeah, you were right on. There's a pineapple aspect in there.
Oh.
There's a little bit of a mango-y presence to it.
Just like all of those citrus tropical fruits.
It smells like it's going to be low on the bitterness.
What did you say the ABV on this?
Yeah, 7.
Okay. And what was the other one?
It smells 6.7. little grapefruit to it. There's some definite grapefruit on there, like a pink grapefruit. Mm. What are you tasting out of it?
It tastes exactly like it smells, although it's not as...
That's really good.
I thought the flavors would be a little more powerful.
It's a little more nuanced as opposed to just like slapping you in the tongue. Yeah. It's finessed, you know. It's got
it's very smooth, easy to drink.
It's kind of silky on the tongue. It is. It's just kind of like lays the hops down there
it's
on
like
your tongue.
Sexy.
It is a good beer, and the zombie reference definitely helps it be even cooler.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it's like sexy. It's like you're laying down on like satin sheets.
I get all those citrusy notes, that pineapple, that mango-ish aspect, the grapefruit.
It's good. Really like this
beer. There is a bit present bitterness to it, but it is like at least half the bitterness of the Total Domination. Which,
not even compare. You can't compare.
Yeah, they're very different. It's like significantly more ramped up in the hop citrus presence.
This is funny because for some reason I was like, I'm not going to like Dawn of the Red. I don't know why.
It's really good, man. I remember thinking, I've had red IPAs before. When I had it out there, I was like, I've had red IPAs before. And I'm usually like down with them, like they're good. And then I remember taking my first sip and being like, this is like exceptionally good for a red IPA in my opinion. And I still feel that way about it.
Yeah, I think it's
honestly
very good.
It's really good. This is another reason we need Ninkasi to start distributing in Maryland, because I like Dawn of the Red.
Yeah.
I'd like to get some more. So, after we saw the main brewing facility, he took us by where they do the
metal. We tried to see
the
metal shop, but no one was working.
Yeah, it was closed.
Or maybe they were working and it was I don't know, but it was locked. We couldn't get in.
So, the last place we went was where? Their offices.
Their office, yeah.
They have their own building just for the offices. And, Rebecca, what did you like most about the offices? You know, describe as we went in, what were the offices like here?
Well, first we walked in, and I think that's when he was like, oh, your glasses are empty. So there's just like this wall of tap handles.
Yeah, right next to the reception desk.
Yeah. And
there's a receptionist and a reception desk, and right across from her is a wall of tap handles with glasses so you can get beer.
And
a cooler.
And a cooler.
A fridge with beers, cases of beer.
It seemed like people could, like, you just park your car, walk in, and order what you want from her, and she gives it to you. Like,
I don't know.
Cases of beer. Because I feel like I saw people doing that for, like, large quantities of beer for parties. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Anyway, so we got more beer.
Yeah.
And it was cool because, you know, he's like, do you just want to
taste
this? And I was like, at that point, I'm like, I just want like a half glass. Like, I don't need a whole lot. But, and then we walked upstairs and we saw, you know, it was like a typical cubicle farm. And one of my favorite parts was his office or his desk was a little cubicle amongst all the other people that work there.
Yeah, he doesn't have like his own lavish office with the door he can close. He just takes one of the cubicles. Because what did he say? Why did he say he does that?
Yeah, he's like, if someone else needs a desk or an office, I just give it up because they need it more than I do.
Yeah, because they're plugging away like constantly doing what they need to do. We had a long conversation, a few long conversations with the graphic design guys, the guys who do all their...
Super cool.
Yeah. Was it Wayne and Nick, I believe?
Maybe.
Wayne and Nick. Talked to those guys for quite some time. Looked at... they had a poster up of, like, all the designs they've done for labels. It's just really cool to look through all of those. And everyone was super nice. And Jamie knows everyone. Like, everyone who works for him, it seems like every person he went by, he knew their name. He chatted with them a little bit. Yeah. You know, they had good conversation. And that's what I like to see with breweries. Well, with any business, is that the people who are at the top know their people and care. So I mean, that was nice, but had an awesome time.
And everybody's at their desk has like their name, and that's also done by the metal shop. So it was like metal, just again super cool. Yeah.
And they took us. He took us into every single room, everywhere. Honestly, he took us everywhere.
Yeah. Well, they're what do they call it? Their experience?
Oh, yes.
Sensory. It was sensory.
The sensory room.
Where they have people doing tastings and...
Well, and it's people who work there. Like, you're on a rotation, and it ends up being, at some point, like, your job to come in during your shift and taste beer, like, smell and taste beer for quality purposes to see if it's testing correctly. And I was like, man, come on. How do I get into this?
Yeah. That would be amazing. Well, I think, didn't you say, does anyone like, I don't want to do this? And he was like, well, then they don't work here. Like,
yeah, right.
How could you not want to do this?
But the other thing is Rebecca was basically like, so can people just like have beer while they work? He's like, yeah. He was like, I mean, obviously people who are like handling equipment and stuff like that where they could get hurt, they can't have beer until they're, you know, off.
Well, that was one of the things my sister asked. Like, he seemed like he was very, very focused on safety.
Yes.
Like, he even emailed Carlin ahead of time, like, make sure you do not wear open-toed shoes. Yeah. Like, we wore safety glasses. Like, everything was, like, safety.
Yes.
The whole way through. And then that was something my sister said, you know, that you keep emphasizing safety yet, you know, and, like, kind of clarified. Like, it's only certain people, only this part, you know, like, they... That was kind of good to hear.
But it was really cool because on the main floor of their offices, they have a big room where there's tables and there's a giant bar. Beautiful. Again, it's all, you know, steel. And it was done by their metal shop. It looks amazing. But,
and that's where they have the rock climbing wall.
Yeah, they had a rock climbing wall with hops painted on it, which was really cool. So people can just go and rock climb if they want rock climb. But then they just had, like, this area there where people can just congregate and drink beer. And they had, like, all these beers on tap.
Well, I think they also said, like, that was a meeting space that could be rented out for different events.
Yep. But there were a bunch of people who were getting off work while we were there and just coming over and sitting down there and having a beer.
Yeah.
And that's what we did when we were done with the entire tour. We just went down and... Jamie went back and started changing kegs.
So we could try different things.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, I want you guys to try the IPA sandwich. I want you to try the Boss Hop. So he was like changing kegs just so we could try it. I mean, just nice guy. Real nice guy.
And then I think we were like, we're beered out.
Well, we did have to leave because we had places that we had to go. But
yeah.
Before that, he did finish up the tour with showing us their recording studio.
Oh, that's right.
Because they do have, they do a little bit of music recording. And they also allow local artists, music artists, to come in and record there. Like, it's a legit recording studio.
Yeah.
And it's run by, I believe he said his name was James. And he used to be the bassist for that band, The Flies. It was like a one-hit wonder band, I think, in the 90s, maybe. Late 90s, early 2000s, something like that. And it was, they had a hit song called Got You Where I Want You, I believe.
I know that song.
Look it up. Oh, I knew it immediately when he said The Flies. I was just like, oh yeah, Got You Where I Want You. I know that song.
I didn't know that.
But so he works there and they do music and they release videos with music put to it, and it was just cool to see that as well. And then he gave us some beer to take when we went, which was super nice, super cool of him, and we just had an amazing time. It was a hell of a time.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite things was just their overall, like, values.
Yeah.
Like, on their glass, on their new glassware they have that they're trying to get out to bars in the area is their, like, logo, mantra. I don't know what you want to refer it to.
I'd say it's more of, like, a mantra.
Yeah, which is perpetuate better living.
Yeah. And that's something I've seen on their website a bunch. Is pushing the whole perpetuate better living ordeal, which is, I mean, just cool. I mean, it's not about, like, get drunk, buy our stuff. It's like, how can we improve things?
Yeah.
How can we have a positive focus?
And I took a picture because they had, like, their core values on their wall, and I thought they were cool. So the overall was perpetuate better living, and then they emphasized one team. Quality output in everything we do, creative pursuit of mastery, integrity interactions, and then my favorite, successful integration of work and life.
Yeah.
And under that it says, work and life outside of work are both valued and mutually supportive. We engage fully in both.
Yeah. And that's a great, refreshing thing to hear from someone who owns a business, because a lot of the time, business owners and people at the top of businesses are very much like just work, 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 work. Oh, what, you have a personal life? Forget that. You need to be in here working. So it's refreshing to hear that he's down to earth with that stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like I have to say this because, like, although it sounds really great, like, from the outside, I hope that's actually what happens on the inside, which it seemed like it.
It seemed like everyone was happy. Like, every single person we saw was very happy. So, and it did not seem like a show at all.
And he lives 3 blocks from there?
Yeah, 3 blocks. Oh, and he also said when we met up with him, he's like, I worked out at the gym this morning so I can drink beers with you guys.
Yeah. And I was like, I did not work out and I'm still going to drink beer.
Yeah. So it was awesome. And just like taking the tour and drinking these nice beers while we're taking the tour was just fun. And then having beers after and having some to go with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and thanks again, Ninkasi and Jamie, for supplying the beers for the show. I mean, it was awesome. At first, I was like, oh, I don't know about doing an episode. I think we'll just kind of roll it in with our Oregon vacation. But then I was just like, we did a lot at that tour. And I just kind of feel like it needed to be its own thing. So, it's its own thing. So, if they end up coming out distributing on the East Coast, we definitely need to talk about that on some episode and get people ready for the beers to come out. But we have one more beer to try.
Last beer.
We have the last beer, and what beer is this, Rebecca?
It is Otis, their oatmeal stout.
Yeah.
And it is 7%.
7%, all right.
And I'm going to let you open that while I finish my water.
Oh, yeah, because you got to rinse.
I got to rinse, and I got to hydrate. I didn't drink enough water today.
Okay, well, there's water in beer, so.
Oh, okay, good.
You're partially covered there, just so you know.
Or not.
So, it's actually been quite some time since I've had any of their stouts. I had had a vanilla Otis that Emily had given me some time ago. And I think before that I had had just like a straight up Otis. But when we were out there, I didn't have any. So.
Yeah, because I think, I had the Made in the Shade and the
Wonder Beer.
The Wonder Beer.
And I had the Imperial Slayer and the Dawn of the Red. And then we tried the Hop Sandwich and the Boss Hop. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Want to try that experimental stuff, you know?
Yeah, I thought about the Otis, but we were like outside and inside, and it was hot.
Yeah, it was hot.
And I love stouts, but I have a tough time drinking them. I could drink them. I mean, it was hot out today, but we're inside. It's cool. It's air conditioned. But anyway.
Dark.
It looks like a stout.
It looks like a stout. Dark. It's got, if you shake it up a little bit, it's got slightly tan head that comes up. A little bit of brown around the edges of the beer, but, you know. Mm. What does it smell like to you? Chocolatey?
Chocolatey.
Roasty.
Chocolate oatmeal.
Chocolate oatmeal, which you want to start every day with for breakfast.
Smells like goodness.
Actually, I do want chocolate oatmeal for breakfast now. That would be great.
Carlin likes chocolate. Anything chocolate. With chocolate in the morning.
Well, I mean, it's like a sweet treat to get you through the day, you know. Plus, the kick of sugar helps to get you going.
Anytime I make anything for breakfast, Carlin's like, can you put chocolate chips in it?
I'm like, no. It's like throwing just a little bit of gas on the fire, you know, just to get you up and at it. Anyway, It smells very much like a stout, you know, roasty, chocolatey are the notes. A little bit of a licorice note in there.
I mean, I don't want to say it smells standard, but it smells like exactly all of the characteristics you would anticipate from an oatmeal stout.
So tasting it. Oh, I want you to go first because I don't want to say something and then you'd be like, "Oh, I was gonna say that." So what are you thinking?
I'm getting smoke.
It's a little kind of smoky, roasty. Yeah, the roast is kind of playing with a little bit of a smoky aspect to it. I'm getting some coffee notes out of it.
Yeah, like almost like a burnt coffee,
like deeply roasted coffee. Yeah. I am getting a little bit of that licorice that I said I was smelling.
I don't know if I'm getting that.
And obviously a little chocolatey aspect in there.
It's good. I don't like any aspects of smoke in my beer.
I like it.
So I'm a little turned off by that, but
As far as a straight up
oatmeal stout.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
And I kind of, I like that little bit of a little bit of licorice note. I'm typically not a licorice guy, but for some reason that licorice-y aspect is nice. There's also a bit of a hop presence to it too that that you wouldn't expect.
Yeah. I guess it's a little more complex than a lot of oatmeal stouts.
Yeah.
But again, the smoky, I call it smoky. I think I'm just very hypersensitive to that type of flavor.
Yeah, I think so.
I think a lot of things are smoky and you were like, no.
Not so smoky. Okay, so it was an awesome time. Ninkasi Brewing, awesome. If you can get Ninkasi wherever you are, check it out. If you can't, hopefully they'll expand.
Yeah.
I know they plan to expand. And like I said, they're going to do sours at some point. So I'm really interested to see what their sours would be like.
Is that definite?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it sounded like it.
Oh, I thought it was a...
I don't think it's a definite as in there are plans, like we're doing it next year.
Yeah, I would say it did not sound very immediate. It sounded like, kind of, probably, maybe.
Right. Well, I think it was more of like a, yeah, we're going to, but it's when, you know. Yeah,
I think there are probably other priorities first.
But he showed us they already have the lot of land that they're going to use for that facility.
Yeah.
So, and it's right next to where their bottling building is, so, you know. I mean, they basically occupy a few blocks.
Yeah.
Like, three blocks, basically.
Well, and I think one of the other things Jimmy had mentioned was that some people in the community don't like Ninkasi. But I think he tries to do a good job of integrating the community into his business practice. He mentioned something about parking, didn't he? I thought he mentioned something about how some of the neighbors were complaining about or concerned about the parking. And he was going to maybe try to expand one of the pieces of land to make more parking. And
So it just shows a kind of philosophy of don't just have your business exist and do what you want to do. Listen to the people around you and integrate.
Yeah, I was going to say it was a really good integration. But anyway, okay. I think you were trying to wrap it up and I'm adding new things.
No, that's fine. If there's more to it, there's more to it. But the only thing I regret is that we did not go back to the tasting room when we were done.
Oh.
Because I kind of wanted to get like a t-shirt or something. So I didn't even think about that until like the next day. I was like, oh man, we should have like gone and bought a t-shirt or something. Yeah.
Well, we have to go back then.
That's
all there is to it.
Guess we got to go back to Oregon. And if we go back to Oregon, Jamie, I'm going to call you up, and we'll come back out.
Redo.
Yeah, redo. Another tour. Let's do it.
Okay, now we have to rate these beers still?
Let's just rank them. Let's see. You know, I like all of them, but where would I put them? I'm going to say, you want me to go first?
Go ahead.
I think my favorite, Dawn of the Red. Really like the Dawn of the Red. Like it a lot. After that, the Wunderbier. I think that's an exceptional Kolsch. I'm typically not into Kolsch's, but that's one that I would potentially consider actually going out and just getting again, which you typically won't find me saying, I'm going to go out and buy a Kolsch, but I think that is rich enough with its flavors and well-rounded enough that I could do that. After that, I would say probably the Otis. I'd say the Otis after that, and then the Total Domination. And that's my order.
I'm getting less of that smoky quality as I'm drinking this Otis. Okay, mine's pretty similar to yours. My number one is the Wunderbier.
I knew you were going to go that way.
Oh my gosh, I'm so mad we couldn't bring more home.
And it does, was it the experience almost the same as when you had it at Ninkasi?
Yep.
Good.
So that's my first. Second is Dawn of the Red. Then the Otis, and then the Total Domination.
Okay, so we just switched the Dawn of the Red and the Wunderbier. So.
Yeah.
Very nice. Well, this was a successful episode. I know it presented itself to us, so I kind of wanted to go to a different region for this brewery showcase episode, but since we had the trip and it just fit so perfectly, I was like, oh, well, we got to do Ninkasi. Yeah. But I was going to try to go to a different region of the world or U.S. Well, who knows? You know, there are breweries outside the U.S.
Crazy.
There's craft breweries out there all over. So
getting crazy.
I think maybe the next one might be international. So
yeah, I guess now we have to.
Well, And if people have ideas out there,
yeah, let's do it.
What do you want to see? Go ahead and send us an email, brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com. I think this might also be a good time to plug the other stuff. We have a Facebook page. Just look for Brutal Battle on Facebook. We have stuff going up there. The Brutal Battle beer breaks go on there, which are the short 5-minute or less videos that I make of whatever I'm drinking on off time. Just kind of talk about, you know, what do I think about what I'm drinking. Typically, they're good beers because I don't go out and buy beers that I think are going to suck. Every now and then, I'll get one that's not so great, but, you know.
Only I buy beers that suck for Carson.
Yeah, right. So that's on YouTube, and it shows up on the Facebook page. We've got Twitter. I am Carlin at Brutal Battle, so you can tweet at us. We also have just the website, brutalbattle.com. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. What else? I feel like there's so much. Like I said, the email address, brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com. You can get down with that.
And there's too much. Too much.
There's so much. What? All the social media, and it's out of control, man. It really is. So.
Social media is out of control.
Oh, we're on Untapped. That was the one thing I was missing. This is Rebecca C. You are Rebecca C. And what am I? I never know what I am. Am I Carlin? Am I Carlin or am I? I think I'm Carlton Malibu, is what I believe. But anyway,
I have no idea.
Not like it matters. But look for it. It's either Carlin, Carlin Cook, or Carlton Malibu.
Can I plug our cat?
Search them all. Oh, yeah, okay.
I mean, our cat has an Instagram account, too. Princess Chloe Cat.
Wow, you just dropped our cred, like, big time. Oh, really? By saying Princess Chloe Cat.
Okay, delete this. Edit this out before you post it, please.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God.
Although you were just talking today about the fact that you found something that was craft beer and cats.
Yes. Okay, I started following them. Okay, this is why. In my defense. First of all, it was your
idea.
This
is going off the rails, by the way, yeah. But go ahead.
Okay, it was your idea. And then I was like, okay, fine. And now I really enjoy it because Facebook, negative, people complaining, negativity. I go on my cat's Instagram account, which is Man By Me, and I only follow cats. Lots of pictures of cute cats.
Yeah.
Boom.
Well, it's kind of like for the craft beer folks, like Untapped. There isn't a whole lot of, like, political posts and people's beliefs showing up there. It's pretty much just, hey, I'm drinking beer.
Yeah.
So you can just see what everyone's drinking. And it's as good as cats on Instagram, I guess. That's a good quote. Craft beer, as good as cats on Instagram.
I can't find who it is. I'm not super.
What's the craft beer and the cats? But yeah. Anyway, all right. But everyone else, you can go out and search for that. Find it on your own time. Anyway, thank you so much once again, Jamie Floyd. You were more than hospitable. You were a lot of fun to talk to. And look forward to seeing you again at some point. Drop us a line anytime you're out this way or whatever. I think next year the Craft Brewers Association meeting is in Baltimore, maybe. I think it's either next year or the year after that. I'm not sure. But anyway, thanks again, Jamie, Ninkasi, everyone. Thank you for listening. And until next time.
Keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.